Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, if you will, open your Bibles to 2 Samuel. I think it's where I said. 2 Samuel chapter 6 is where we're going to start today. And I've got a lot of stuff today. I want to thank Pastor Pat for bringing a good word last week. Amen? Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Pat. Where you at, brother? Yeah. Come on. Good word. I'm telling you, every time I hear the word of God, a lot of word is good for us. Is that right? How many know that? Yeah. Look at your neighbor next door and say, hey, God's word is good for you. It's just good for you. It is. And Pastor Pat brought some scriptures last week, man. And I think it. So many scriptures, you're gonna get hit by something, amen? Praise God. God is good. And I appreciate all my pastors, associate pastors, Pastor John, Pastor Pat, Pastor Carrie, Pastor Stella, Pastor Rosie, and the list goes on and on. No, praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. He really is good. He's been good to us. It's a familiar story we're going to read today. It's about David when he just had to get the Ark of God back to Jerusalem where he was. How many know it's good that we go after God and the things of God? And David's just going after God is all he's doing. He's just trying to get the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. He's trying to get that into the city. And he has just become king over Israel and Judah. He had just been appointed Saul. Saul had died, and Saul's general, Abner, I guess his name was, Abner, Abner grabbed Saul's son and made him king, and it was just kind of a crazy way that David became king over not only Judah, but also Israel. And David was anointed to be king over Israel. Do you know that? At the time that Samuel anointed David, Saul was still king over Israel. They hadn't split up yet real bad. It's funny. It's kind of a sad but yet cool story about how God anointed David to become king, and he became king, and he decided he wanted to go after the Ark of the Covenant and wanted to be where the presence of God was. The Ark was the presence of God. What God was. It was a symbol, if you will, but it was what God had created for Moses, or Moses had created for God to dwell in and in a tent and all this other stuff. But David was after it, and he said, "I got to get it in here." And so that's where we're going to be at the story. We're going to look at this event and kind of try to relate it to our lives if we can. Hallelujah. How many know it's important we relate the Word of God to our lives? Do you ever do that? Do you do that? Do you relate God's Word into your life? Do you take it for yourself and try to look at it? That's what it's for. The Word of God says, James, that the Bible is a mirror for us so we can see ourselves, and then hopefully if we're smart enough, we'll adjust. Is that okay? Hallelujah. But praise God. Here we come. We're going to start in this story. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. You know what I'm going to do? I want to pray. I'm having a little bit of a struggle up here. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I just didn't get my, yeah, whatever. Come on, man. Ooh, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. God, hallelujah, anoint, Father, your word this morning as we speak your word, as we read your word, Father, enter in our hearts, Lord, and do what you desire to do this morning. God, we thank you for it. We praise you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Say bless the preacher. Come on. Hallelujah. Come on, man. Praise God. I'll take it. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1 again, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him to Baal of Judah to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwells between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab that was in Gibeah. And Uzzah and Ahio, the son of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manners of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And verse 9 says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Hallelujah. You know, how many know it's important that you pay attention to what God is saying? Is that right? No matter what you're about to do, no matter how excited you get about what you're about to do for the Lord, you got to pay attention to the little things. Is that right? It's important we pay attention to all the small things that are going on so that we don't miss anything when it comes to the Lord. Apparently, David missed something here. What do you think about that? I mean, they're having a good time. Woo! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Cymbals, psalteries and harps, and man, they're just having a good time. And the Bible says that the ark, I mean, it shook. And Uzzah, who was sitting on the cart, or maybe walking alongside, it doesn't really say, he went and he touched it to steady it. How many know that was a no-no? That was a no-no. And the Bible says that God smote him there. Because there are certain things you just do and you don't do with the Lord. Is that right? There is a law in place that says how you're supposed to handle this ark. Is that right? God is, you know, and it seems like God's real touchy. Isn't that right? He's not that touchy. He just says, remember who you are. Remember what you're doing. He's not that touchy, but he is touchy. How many know that? How many know God's touchy? Not very many. I'm going to tell you what, I know God's touchy. I know that he's come after me for some things. Oh, I didn't know I was doing that, Lord. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. You got to pay attention to those little things. If anybody should have known, it should have been the priests should have known. Is that right? Some of these guys were priests. Abinadab was a priest. They should have known. Wait a minute. Wait. Are we doing this right? Are we doing this right? I'm going to read a little bit more. It says this. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him unto the city of David, but Derry carried it outside. Verse 9 says that David was afraid. Is that right? How many know that fear is not a motivator for the kingdom of God? Is that right? How many know that? The only fear that we're supposed to have is just kind of fear the Lord. I mean, that's such a love and a respect for him that you don't want to do anything wrong. Is that right? And I know David had that kind of fear. I know he did. But when Uzzah got touched and it killed him, David said, how is this? I mean, the Bible says that he feared because he realized something's wrong. Something happened that was displeasing God. Have you ever had that happen to your life? Something displeasing that you know something, you know that God is saying, no, man, that was not right. You ever done that? You ever done anything like that? You ever said something to somebody and said, hey, man, the Holy Spirit right away said, what are you doing? It's important we pay attention to what God tells us. Is that right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. David is in this place, and wonder if there's any good place to be when something goes wrong. A good thing to do is ask God, what's going on? Is that right? A good thing to do is say, Lord, what's happening? What happened? How am I supposed to do this, Lord? Or what is it that you want, Lord? Am I doing something right? Hallelujah. Sometimes if you ask the Lord, you might be surprised what he says to you because of what you just did or what somebody just said to you and you received it wrong. Sometimes the Lord will say, hey, let me stop your parade for a minute. Is that right? We're going along good. We're having a good time. And then all of a sudden somebody says something to you that hurts you. Is that right? Anybody been there? You ever been there? Where somebody says something to you and it doesn't, oh God. And the Lord knows it. He says, hey, wasn't that good? Uh-uh, no way. No, that wasn't good. Oh, yeah, well, Lord, you know what? It is good for you because we pay attention to what God is saying to us. Is that right? Sometimes the hard things are good for us. And this was a hard thing. A man was killed. A man was dead because of David's desire. Listen, because of David's desire to do what he wanted to do for the Lord. Is that right? A man died. Is that a serious thing? Come on, man, it is. So, of course, David's got, whoa, wait. So he says, you know what? Let's park it. Let's put it off over here. So he says this. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, and David carried it aside to the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite, an unexpected guest in Obed-Edom's house. Isn't that right? Some of us would say, wait a minute, they don't bring that over here. I don't want that in my house. No, he willingly took the Ark of the Covenant into his care. And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom. Isn't that nice? What? Yeah, Obed-Edom. This man, all of a sudden, his corn stalks are twice as tall as anybody else's in the valley. What? His children, man, he's blessed. What do you think that is? Well, it's probably because that ark is there. How many think? Do you know that the presence of God is going to bless you? Do you know that God's presence will bless you? Do you know that? Oh, my goodness. The presence of God is so important to us. It is a blessing just to have him in your house. How do you know that? Just to have him within you, man, it's such a blessing. And then even more to go walk in your house and say, praise God. This is what you've given me, Lord, and I'm so thankful for him. How many are thankful for your house? How many are tired of your house? Yeah, there you go. It's given by God. Isn't that right? God has given you everything. Is that right? You really didn't get it on your own. He gave it to you. He gave you the strength, the whatever it is, to receive from him. Is that right? And God is good. He really is good. We just got a different way of looking at things, some folks. I talked to a guy one time. He says, no, everything that I've got, I worked for. Okay. God must have given you that job. No, I went and got the job. Well, you can deny God all you want, but the fact of the matter is God loves you and he will do great things for you, even if you ignore him. Isn't that crazy? Even if you ignore him. You know why? Because he loves you. He died for you. Died on a cross for you. Loves you. Praise God. And he loves David here. Is that right? He knows David's heart. He knows what David's trying to do. He knows that. And it was told King David that he was being blessed, that Obed-Edom was blessed, and all that pertains to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Remember how David had asked, how should I bring up the ark? Apparently he found out. Is that right? Apparently he found out. I'm going to just want to take you over to Chronicles. I think it's 1 Chronicles. Chapter 15, verses 2 and 3. This is the book of Chronicles is a side by side kind of book for 1st, 2nd Kings, Samuel, 1st and 2nd Samuel, Chronicles is a book, it's just written about the kings. And here is an account where David says, David said, none ought to carry the ark of God but the Levites. See, he found out what it was. He remembered the law. Probably the priest came and told him, hey, man, you know what? We made a big mistake. We put that thing on a cart. We put God's presence on a cart and pulled it with a cow. And it's not supposed to be that way. That ark is supposed to be carried by men, by priests, by Levites. Can I tell you, God's presence, because the whole thing was a symbol about the presence of God being carried within your vessel. Is that cool? You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And this little story here is talking about how the ark of God was to move about in the earth. Is that okay? And he says, man, and by the law, he said, hey, you don't put it on a cart. You don't just let anybody carry it. You have to let a priest carry it. How many of you know that we are kings and priests? When you believe in Jesus Christ, you become a king and a priest. Do you know that? A priest with the ability to minister to the Lord in your own home. I mean, in your own closet. To call out to him, to ask him to help your friends and help your family. God, would you help my family? Hallelujah. You're a priest and you're also a king. You're also someone that makes declarations in your own home, in your own vessel. Diabetes, you got no place in this. This is a place, this is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes. And sickness and disease cannot dwell together with the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hallelujah. See, and so you make a declaration because you're a king, because the word of the Lord says that the angels of God listen to hear the voice of the word of God coming out through you. Isn't that cool? You're a king, you're a priest. So yeah, the Ark of the Covenant was only supposed to be carried by priests, and that's who we are. We carry the presence of God. Isn't that cool? Ooh, that's nice. I love it. I think that's nice. It says here, I'm going to start verse 2 again. It says, and then David said, now not to carry the ark of God, but the Levites. For them has the Lord chosen to carry the ark of God and to minister unto him forever. And David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord unto his place, which he had prepared for it. And then verse 25 says this, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains over thousands went to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the house of Obed-Edom with what? With joy. Joy. What's joy? What is joy? What is joy? Joy to the world. The Lord. What is joy? Hallelujah. Brother, what's joy? Tell me what joy is. It's an emotion, okay. Okay. Developed?
It can be produced by either, well, in this case, God or family.
Okay. Joy.
Most commonly, family and stuff that you enjoy doing.
That you enjoy doing. And enjoy is a word like joy, right? Enjoy, yeah. Enjoy, yeah. Enjoy. What's the difference between joy and happiness? Happiness was brought on by your outward surroundings. Is that right? What's going on around you? Joy is something that's within you. When the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in you, he brings with him something. It's called joy. Hallelujah. It's joy. I love joy. How many like joy? How many like being happy? I like being happy. But you know what? Joy is something that strengthens you and holds you right when you, even in the worst of times. Is that right? The joy of the Lord is my strength, is what the Bible says. And do you know where you can find joy? There's only one place to find joy. The Bible says that in thy presence, O God, is fullness of joy. In thy presence. Joy and gladness are very close related. The Bible says that David went and got the Ark of the Covenant with gladness in Samuel, and in Chronicles it says that he got it with joy. Went and got that thing with joy. So David was very happy about taking that. How many of you guys ever been happy about taking something home? Just, how many like new things? Everybody likes new things, huh? Replace that old, out with the old, in with the new. How many like that? New things. Yeah. How many know that sometimes we can get so hooked on new things, man, we can't enjoy them? Is that right? Enjoy them. Whatever you got, enjoy. The Lord has given that to you, so let him help you to enjoy it. Is that right? But joy, I'm going to tell you, is a characteristic of the kingdom. Characteristic. It is one of the characters of people that, it is a characteristic of people that have, that know the Lord. Joy. Can people around you tell that you have joy when you're walking down the street? When you're at work? Do they know that you have joy, that you're of the kingdom of God? Hallelujah. We go back to Samuel chapter 6 again. And David, it says, starting at verse 12, and it was so that when they bare the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. Can I tell you, David was excited about bringing this thing in. Is that right? He's dancing. He's having a good time, and people are shouting all around. Yeah, hallelujah, whatever they're saying. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, thank God. The Ark of the Covenant is back in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. They're happy, they're excited. And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Can I tell you, when things are going really good, there's always somebody going, come on, man. You got to be kidding me. Man, I hope it's not you. I hope none of you do that. Something is going good, and then you step in and say, oh, man, you just don't do it right. Everything's running good and everything. I said, man, if I was doing that, I would do this. There's always somebody that when things are going great, is that right? They're going to steal something. They want to try to steal something from you. Here David's just excited, and his wife looks out the window, sees him jumping and dancing, the Bible says that she despised him in her heart. Hallelujah. She despised him. And they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well as to the women and his men, to everyone a cake of bread, a good piece of flesh, and a flagon of wine. Everybody go, yeah. Yeah. Gave him some food, some bread, and some wine. So all the people departed, everyone to their own house. Then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. You see her attitude? What an attitude, huh? Guys, you ever had a wife have an attitude like that? Nobody's answering. Yeah, it's a good thing not to answer. I wouldn't answer that question either. But I mean, we get attitudes, is that right? Who knows what was going on Michael's life? She was Saul's daughter. She actually, when David had left, Saul gave her to another man. And then when David became king, he asked for her back. He goes, that's my wife. I want her back. So maybe she was a little upset at him. Maybe she was. I don't know. Whatever the thing is, she dishonored that man. Do you know that? She dishonored him. Because you're going to see here what the Lord, what David says. David was happy, 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 joyful. Man, he's giving out food, giving out wine, giving out bread. He's just, I mean, he is rejoicing because he has the presence of God. You know, we sing a song. I sing. I'm in the house worship. I worship at home. That's most of the time when if I play the guitar, most of the time I'm playing just to the Lord. For an audience of one. Is that right, John?
Amen.
An audience of one. That's when I'm worshiping God. And so when I got like 90 people looking at me, I get a little nervous. Is that okay? Hallelujah. But that's okay. I got to get out of that. The fact of the matter is David was with all his heart rejoicing. He was happy about what had just happened. The presence of God. I've got the presence of God. And I sing a song every once in a while. It says, the words are just to get close to you. I sing this song. Just to be close to you is my desire. You know, the word of God says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Can I tell you just how much God wants to get close to you? He wants to get really close to you. He wants you to hear his voice speaking in your ear. Is that right? That's how close. The Bible says that God speaks with a small, still voice, and he wants you to hear that voice. I was talking to Pastor Pat the other day, and he was telling me, he says, man, God's been talking to me all day long. I said, man, you know what? If I could get the folks to know that God will speak to you, you know, God is a chatterbox. How many of you know that? He really likes to talk. He really likes to say things to you. If you'll open up yourself and allow him to say the things that he wants to say to you, you'll find that, man, God, that's cool. God, that's cool. I can imagine Adam in the cool of the day, God just talking to him. What's that over there? Well, I don't know, God. It looks kind of like it's got tusks. Because God's saying, that's an elephant, Adam. Okay, that's an elephant. So what's that over there? That's a lion. That's a lion. Adam's saying, God, let me off, man. All right. But God is a chatterbox. He likes to talk. He likes to be speaking things to you. Do you know that? Can I tell you, he opened the door for you when his son paid the price for you? He opened the door for you to hear him in a constant basis. God loves to speak. And he'll speak out of that book if you'll read it. You'll hear him speaking. When you're walking down the street, you'll sense him. You'll fear him. You'll hear him speaking. It's a good thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God, man. Hallelujah. You know, I know what I'm missing this morning. I'm missing my keyboard player up here. Isn't that right? Yeah, I was going, man, it's quiet in here. Praise God. But God wants to talk to you. He really does. And he will talk to you. He'll talk to you and talk to you and talk to you. He'll show you things that you never knew before. Is that right? He will show you things that you didn't know. And David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. He was dancing before the Lord. How many know the Bible says, whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. Do you know that? There's a scripture. I think I wrote that scripture down. Colossians 3:23. Can we put that up? Just look at that scripture. It says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord. And that's what David was doing. David was dancing before the Lord with all his heart, with all his might. Is that right? And Michal, his wife, is criticizing him. And he says this, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord and over Israel. Therefore, I will play before the Lord. Hallelujah. And I will be yet more vile than this and will be base in my own sight. And of the maidens and of the maidservants which thou hast spoken of them will I be held in honor. David was basically telling her, you might be dishonoring me, Michal. But those ladies that you were saying, they're going to hold me in honor because I was doing this before the Lord and the Lord knows it. Hallelujah. And it says right here, this verse 23 says, therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. Is that right? The Bible says that God says, whosoever honors me, I will honor. Can I tell you that dishonor came upon Michael like crazy? Do you know that? It was dishonor. She dishonored her husband, therefore it turned around on her, and she dishonor was placed on her. Can I tell you, just think about this. It was for a woman in these times to not have any children was not looked on very well. It was kind of dishonoring. Is that right? They looked at ladies that had bare children, and especially boys, as blessed women. And here Michael had no children. So it's important that we understand that God says, who you honor is important. Do you know the Bible tells us to honor one another? Is that right? Can I just say that to you? We need to honor one another. Even the folks that are out there that don't know the Lord, we need to honor them. We need to treat them well. Is that right? We need to show them honor. We need to respect them. Is that right? We need not just pay no attention to them just because they don't know Jesus. We are to respect them and love them and care for them. Hallelujah. First Peter 2:17 says this. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor all men. How's your honor going, your honor? How is your honor working? Are you honoring everybody? Or are you talking about everybody? Are you saying things about people? Can I say this to you? There's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of people talking, saying things. The Bible tells us to pray for our president and those that are leading. Those are leaders, no matter who they are. Is that right? The Bible says for you to honor them, whoever they are. Our police force, is that right? They probably think I'm weird, man. These guys around here, the sheriffs and the police around here, because they drive by and I wave at them. Hey, how's it going, man? Because if for some reason I pray for them, can I tell you, when you're praying for folks, you begin to love them. Is that right? And I go down to the police department and I'm talking to guys I don't even know. They might be going in there to get a ticket taken care of, but I'm treating them like they're a policeman. Because I don't know. I don't know plainclothes policemen from, whatever. But I wave at these guys, man. And if I got a time to say something to them, I'm going to tell them, hey, man, I appreciate it. Well, all that you guys do, man. I really do. I honor these guys. We have to give honor to whom honor is due. Is that right? That's what the Word of God says. Border Patrol, give them honor. Ex-President Obama, oh boy. I had a hard time with that guy. But the Word of God says, you pray for him. You pray for him. Hillary Clinton, oh boy. Hey, I'm not trying to get political in here, man, but I'm just telling you, man, I even pray for that. Lord, touch your heart, Lord. Save Bill. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can you imagine? Hallelujah. I'm still praying for God to show up in the White House and wipe those guys out. Just put them out for half an hour and say, let them wake up and say, what just happened? That was Jesus, man. Still praying for that kind of stuff. I believe God can do that. Is that right? I believe so, man. We need change in America. How many know that? We need change. We won't make America great. Never mind. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I'm going to tell you, it's important that we honor one another. And anytime we have any dishonor for somebody, we need to get that out of our lives. We need to let the blood of Jesus take that out. Is that right? We need to allow that to happen. I'm going to bring this scripture up to you. I've been bringing it up almost every sermon because the Holy Spirit keeps telling me that I am trying to purge your conscience. Maybe he's talking just about me. Maybe it's, maybe none of you need conscience purge. But I'm going to tell you something. God is saying, I want a river of life to flow in the city. And the only way it's going to flow is if your conscience is purged. Can I tell you that the old man is your conscience? That old man that you keep, you died and you were born again. The Word of God says that. When you died, you gave your heart to Jesus. You died on that cross that he... And you were born again. You became a new creature is what the Word of God says. A brand new creature. Brand new. But you keep doing the same old stuff. That you keep going back to the old man that died. And we've got to say, I'm trying to purge that out of everybody. I'm desiring to clean it. To get it out. There's only one cleaner. You can't do it. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how much you spend time down here. You can't do it. It's the Holy Spirit that does this thing. God has a way of doing things. In the old, with David, when Uzzah was struck, he goes, how does it happen, Lord? He went to the law and he found out that only men can carry this. But I'm going to tell you, today it's something different. The Word of God says it's not by might. It's not by power. But it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So he has his way of cleaning you up. Will you yield to that? Watch this scripture here. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I think 10. Hebrews 9:14. I'm sorry. Pull out your eraser. The Word of God says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more will he purge your what? How much you hear that? I'm going to hear you say it. Purge your what? And one more time. Purge your what?
Conscience.
Purge your conscience from what? Dead works. Can I tell you those dead works is that old man? He dead. Unforgiveness, like the last time I spoke, unforgiveness is a dead work. Dishonoring, folks, is a dead work. The new man that's in you would never dishonor anybody, would understand that Jesus died for the world. Therefore, I cannot dishonor that man. I must speak, pray for, and try to build up for the kingdom of God. Is that cool? Because God wants to flow in the earth. He wants the Spirit of God to be flowing like a river. How many know that? Everything that I do, and I tell you this every Sunday, everything that I've been reading is about flowing. It's about flow. God is talking. Can I tell you, when I prophesied before this building out here, the Holy Spirit said this, prophesy to the house. I go, God, I don't know what to prophesy. And out of my mouth came these words, says, right, open up, O ye gates. Open up, O ye everlasting doors, and the King of Glory will come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord mighty in battle. Talking to an empty bowling alley. And then out of my mouth came, says, open up, O ye gates. Out of thee, O house of God, shall flow rivers of living water. See, he's not talking about dabbling water in a little sprinkle here, a little sprinkle there. You talk to somebody over there, you talk to somebody, you got a chance to pray for somebody over here. He is talking about a river, a flow. If you turn on your faucet and you get a drip and another drip, would you say, honey, the sink's not flowing, or would you, is that a flow? That drip, when you know there should be a flow coming out, is there something wrong with that? Yeah, recognize what a flow is. It's time that we recognize a flow. A flow is something moving. Is that right? The other night I was in bed. Well, I don't know what day it was. But in the middle of the night, I woke up and I heard this word, real. 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 I said, what? Real. I heard it. I heard it like just like you hear me say, real. So I wrote it down. But I wrote it down R-E-A-L, real. Laid it down. I'm going back to bed. Went to sleep. Forgot about it in the morning until I was walking by and I looked down and I said, oh man, I wrote that. Yeah, that's right. What do you mean by this, Lord? Real. Why are you telling me to get real? You tell me to get real? I don't know how he spoke it to me, but it's not R-E-A-L, it's R-I-L-L. Do you guys know what a rill is? Anybody know what a rill is? What is it? It's a flow of water. It's a small stream. It's a small stream. We have what we call over here in Tucson, Rito River. What does Rito mean? Little river. It's a rill. Is that how you spell it? R-I-L-L-I-T-O. Rilito. And see, and see, I'm not real bright. I said, God, what do you mean by that? And see, God is talking to me about flow. He says, this is going to start with a small amount. Everything starts with a small amount. And God wants to begin to pour through you. So it's going to, you're going to have to release those small amounts when you sense them. Yeah, and that way, can I tell you when Jesus was walking around, there was a flow happening. How many know that? There was a flow coming out of that man. Everywhere he went, there were people following him everywhere because there was a flow. Hallelujah. That's you. He is a picture of who you are. You are a son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Ladies too. I said, Lord. A flow. The power verse today is Romans chapter 9, verse 17. I'm sorry. Romans chapter 14, verses 16 through 19. Man, sorry. If you're taking notes, I'm sorry. I jack you up all the time, don't I? What? Praise God. Just wait till you see it on the screen. Hallelujah. I want you to hear this. And just kind of think about David and his wife kind of, oh, I saw you. Nah. I saw you doing that. He says, let not your good be evil spoken of. Is that right? Was David doing good? Man, he was. And I know that this scripture right here, this set of scriptures right here is actually talking about eating, but it really does apply to the kingdom. And it says, let not your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Is that right? It's not food and Pepsi, right? Not Cheetos. It says, not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things served Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Do you see that? He that in these things, what things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He that in these things is acceptable to God and to men. What things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy. Righteousness. Peace. The kingdom of God is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And it says this, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify one another. What things? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Can I tell you that these things that the Bible says the kingdom of God is, these characteristics of the kingdom of God should be flowing through you. Is that right? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. When you're walking out, you're running, somebody runs into your car, man. Hallelujah. Do you get out and call them dumb? What's wrong with you? Where's my wife? Huh, honey? Where you at? She's in the, oh, I can talk about her? Cool, man. All right. I was driving home one day. I was following Rosie on the frontage road going to my house. I'm just following her because we had gone to see my brother who was in the hospital in Tucson. And we both worked here and we got into one car and went to go see my brother, got back. And now we're both driving home. And I'm following her and all of a sudden I see her taillights come on, and man, she shoots off to the other side of the road. And I'm looking at her, and I got hit head on by a van that was coming down that. I was in a Toyota pickup. Toyotas are good trucks. I mean, isn't that right, Pastor? Isn't that right, Dave? Toyotas are good trucks, aren't they? Amen. And it hit that thing, and and I was telling my pastor in the church I was going to at the time, I said, man, I saw angel's wings. Amen? He goes, really? You saw angel's wings? I said, yeah, but then I noticed it was the airbag. Yeah. Crazy man. But anyway, man, first thing, I saw Rosie parked off on the side. When I got to the car, I could hear her screaming. Scared to snot. I don't even know that. It's just, this van that hit me, it rolled over. It totaled out my truck, but I ran over to my horn was just meh, but I got out and I saw Rosie and I ran over to the car, and she's with her phone trying to hit it. I think she was trying to call 911, but she's crying and I could hear her, you know, and I opened the door. Hey, babe, I'm all right. She got out, we hugged and everything, you know. So I said, hey, I'll be right back. I'm going to go see if I can find the guy, man. So I go over there, and I'm looking around the van. I guess he had gotten out, and where and I went around, we were kind of circling each other. There was scared me because there was kids' toys all over the road. Man, I guess he had, you know, there was a bunch of kids' stuff in that van. But we're standing, and I said, hey, you all right, man? He goes, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I was on the interstate. He thought he was on the interstate. He had missed his turn off. He was heading for a job in Green Valley, missed his turn off, and he got off the interstate down by the Cow Palace, got back up. He thought he was getting back onto the freeway, so that's why he was on the fast lane coming down the freeway, but he had actually gone up the frontage road, and so he thought he was in the fast lane, but that was the lane that Rosie and I were heading south on. So when he hit me, it was crazy. But when Rosie got up to him, she goes, what were you doing? I said, Rosie, calm down. It's okay. Everybody's fine. And, you know, we have a tendency to do that. Is that right? We do have a tendency. And it's okay. Is that right? But maybe God is calling us to a little bit higher standard. Maybe God is saying things to us that would say, hey, trust me. Trust me. Will you trust me? I believe there were some angels on duty that night. I really do. I believe that those angels' wings were there, even though I didn't see them. I believe because I could have been killed. That man could have been killed. Could have been real ugly. But it wasn't. Because God had a plan. Is that right? That was before this. God had a plan. God knew that he was going to use me and my wife and a bunch of others, John and Stella, and that we're going to use us to create something here. So the Word of God says this, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Do you know that? The Word of God says nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do you hear me? That's the Word of the Lord. That's what God is saying. And those are the words that we take a hold of, that you grab a hold of, and you speak those right back to God as a priest, as a king. Is that okay? Hallelujah. We are in a kingdom, folks. And this kingdom, the Bible has taught us, told us this for centuries. And I'm not sure if we're even getting it. But it has told us, pray this way. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then he says this, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is saying it's time. It's time that the things be on earth as they are in heaven, and it's going to take a flow. It's going to take a flow of the heavenly things coming in through his people and into the earth and into this. I mean, can I tell you something? There is a deluge coming to this city, to this place. There is a flow of water that's coming like nobody's ever seen before. And it is coming in to the people of God and through the people of God. Now, as they speak, they will be doing the things that Jesus did, just as he did, because he said, greater works than these shall who? You do. Greater works than these. And I'll tell you what. When Jesus and God and when the Holy Spirit, when they say things like that, they are serious. The Word of God says of this, God is not a man that he should lie, neither a son of man that he should repent, but he will. He says this, everything that I said to you, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. So folks, I'm hoping that you are excited. I hope you're excited about allowing the Holy Spirit, by the blood of Jesus, to purge those things that are within you. Can I tell you, we all have things that need to be purged. We all need a cleaning. Is that right? Because we all allow that old man to jump up and speak. when we know in our hearts, hey, you know what? I need to shut up and allow him to speak. We know that. But yet, do we yield to it? Come on. Don't look at me like that. Come on. You guys know. You guys know that God is saying, hey, I am trying to flow through you. Allow me to flow. Because I'm going to tell you, once you begin to flow, everywhere you go, you can be so excited about the flow that's coming through you. You'll be excited about it. Ooh, man. Hallelujah. You'll be excited. The Bible says that he that winneth souls is wise. And that there's a crown for you, for those of you that will open up to somebody and say, hey, man, you know what? God loves you, man. God has a crown for you. You don't have to save them. All you got to do is tell them about Jesus. Tell them how great it is to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and how well he takes care of you. God is good, and he is desiring to flow through you. He's desiring to use your life as an example that, as it is in heaven, it'll be here on earth through men and women like you. Is that right? That's cool, man. It's cool. God's got some great things for you. He's got some great things for our city. He's going to use us for his kingdom in a way that we hadn't even thought of. We've never even, Bible says, his eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither has it entered the hearts of men or women, the things that God has already prepared for those that love him. It's cool, man. It really is. He's gonna pour out. How many want to do that? How many want to just say, hey, man, God, just flow through me? We used to sing a song, flow through me, Holy Spirit, flow through me. Because people need Jesus. Our world is changing. How many know that? And it doesn't seem to be getting any better. Is that right? Come on, man. But the kingdom of God is in force and it's coming. It is moving into the earth. The water, God said it this way, surely as I live, my glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Isn't that cool? Surely as he lives. See, it's going to happen. And you're a part of it. Can you stand? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh. Hallelujah. You will be surprised at the flow that begins to flow through you. You'll be surprised. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. Lord, for each and every person that's here, Father. I pray that, Lord, that your word would find a place in them today, Lord. Lord, let a river of life begin to flow out of your people. Not drip. Not on and off. On and off. On and off. But Lord, let it turn on and remain on through your people, Lord. We thank you, Father, that your word says that what is impossible for God, what is impossible for men is possible with God. So we thank you for that, Lord. Lord, use your people to touch the lost. Those people that don't know you, Father, use us to touch the lost, Lord. We thank you for it. And we praise you for it, God. In Jesus' name we pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. If I'm going to say this one more time, if there's anybody in the house that has never received Jesus into their heart, I'm going to ask you to say this prayer with me. And church, help me pray this. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you. Forgive me of my sin. I know Jesus, that you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose again on the third day. You died for me. Paid for my sin. Lord, come into my heart. Wash me. Cleanse me. Let me, allow me to experience the joy of your kingdom. In Jesus' name. If you said that, you meant it from your heart. I will tell you that God has saved you. You are saved. And if you said that prayer and you've never accepted the Lord, and you said that prayer and you believe it with all your heart, come and talk to me, because I want to talk to you about it. Okay? Well, God bless you this morning. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name, go out and touch the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.